The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G,
Yo, and George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah! On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
59-yard. Snap. Clay Smith tweaks the leg. Fairbairn! It's gone! Clutch City! Houston gets the W!
Now back to Paul Gallant and Joe George, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Without Kaimi Fairbairn, the Texans would be 1-4 right now. Just went back. Week one, he kicked 3 50-yard field goals against the Colts in a game that you won by 2 points. Against the Chicago Bears, he also kicked 3 field goals of 50-plus in a game that you won by 6. Are you trusting him to make all of those field goals? And yesterday, once again, there he is, money on the table, making the 59-yarder at the gun, plus a couple of long field goals along the way. Without Kaimi Fairbairn, who hit a 47-yard field goal and a 50-yard field goal at halftime, this is a 1-4 football team, which is crazy to say. But in a league where games are determined by inches, he is the reason you are in the position you are in, sitting pretty, as right now the second best team in the AFC. We'll see what happens to the Chiefs tonight.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we've seen so many games this year. The NFL, it feels, I guess, maybe this is just, it just feels different and there's nothing behind this. It does feel like we're seeing much more close games this season. We're not seeing a lot of blowouts. I mean, you have teams like the Panthers and the Patriots who are awful, but also you have like the Dolphins and Patriots this weekend, 15-10. Like, he's been such a huge part of this team that as they've struggled in the second half, that's where he's been so important, is that that's really where the offense is just not excelling in the way you want it to and not pushing the ball into the red zone and not scoring touchdowns. But they're finding a way to win, and that's all that really matters. You beat the Buffalo Bills. You're the 2 seed in the AFC right now. You've now separated yourself in the long term, you know, this season, because you expect to be competing with Buffalo, you know, for the 2 seed.
Got a tiebreaker
at the end of it. So now you have the tiebreaker. That's why this is also such an important win, that down the road, this win will likely matter a lot. Because at the end of the season, the way the season's playing out right now, for me, Paul, it still feels like it's just going to be the Chiefs, the Texans, the Bills, the Ravens. That when all is said and done, that those are going to be the top 4 seeds in the AFC, and you play all those teams. So at least now you have the edge over one of them at the end.
And none of those 3 teams feel out of reach, even if they, in the case of Kansas City, have been there and done that so many times, you just assume that they're better. And even in the case of Baltimore, who maybe has had some ups and downs this year themselves, but they have just kicked your ass the last 2 times you played them. So nothing's out of reach.
Oh, not at all.
Even if things have been sloppy along the way. And as a texter points out from the 747, every football game is not pretty, Paul. Sometimes you win with style points. Sometimes you win in the trenches. And sometimes you just luck the bleep up. But a win is a win. Today, I feel that way. Here is Texans head coach DeMeco Ryans echoing that same sentiment.
Buffalo is an outstanding team. Well-coached team. Much respect for them. All their players, the way they play, like, nothing but respect for them. Tough opponent. So to beat a team like this, like, At the end of the day, you want to score more points than the other team, man. It doesn't matter how you get it done. So I'm proud of our guys for gutting it out. And like I say again, like, it wasn't all pretty. That's how games go. It's about how you finish at the end, and I'm proud of the way our guys finished.
You know, one of the things with D'Amico is just is the demeanor on the sideline has really just translated to this team so well. There's no panic on the Texans. Like, that's one thing I've noticed throughout all these games, is it doesn't seem like you see any defensive players, you know, having the untimely penalties are not happening in these moments. You're not seeing Will Anderson or Daniel Hunter jump off sides or any other guys, you know, when you're trying to, you know, get three incompletions like they saw from Josh Allen. You're not seeing the critical interception in that moment or mistake from C.J. Stroud as they're trying to lead the team down the field for a win. And then you have Kaimi, who we've been talking about, is just so cool, calm, and collected and clutch. Like the demeanor, that's what is very impressive about the Texans. And what where I'm, you can see where there's a trajectory for this team to make deep playoff runs with just their core of just calmness in these big moments. And that's also what's good about all these games, is that you're being tested. Maybe it feels like too much. Like, maybe it's too many close games. But
testing yourself almost.
But you're being put in all these positions where your offense, your defense, and your special teams are having to make major clutch moments consistently. It's just going to benefit them in the long run.
We hope.
You would think, yeah. Yeah, I mean, maybe it doesn't, but you would think that if it keeps happening over and over again, like, you just kind of, you're learning how to win differently every week.
It feels like, well, we've obviously asked the question, why aren't we impressed? Why aren't the fans impressed for the last couple hours? It feels like we've kind of stumbled upon the answer accidentally. As Paul, you pointed out, the Texans would be 1-4 if they didn't have, what, a top two kicker in the league? You spend the offseason money to bring in Danielle Hunter. You bring in Stephon Diggs, Joe Mixon. You have a coach and a quarterback you love, maybe arguably one of the best rosters you've ever had. And without an elite kicker, like elite kicker, you're 1-4. That's probably the answer why fans aren't impressed right now.
And I understand that frustration. There was so much hype. They might be a product of their own hype. That might be why people are looking at them this way. But I would have thought that we would be waking up to a happier city. And there just seems to be the same general collective indifference that we have seen from people who follow the Houston Texans in every single year outside of 2011 and 2012. And to a degree, down the stretch last year, when people finally started to say, oh, Stroud's good. That's fun.
Do you think if they just scored 10 more points a game, and even if the defense was giving up 10 more points, like if the total score of the game was much higher, if the final score of this game was 33-30, would we be feeling a little bit different? Because then you're just seeing more touchdowns in the game, more ball movement.
I think
it's kind of like that fantasy football culture a little bit.
More questions would be had about the defense.
Yeah,
if you're giving up
True.
That many. The defense did a very good job yesterday. I think you could also argue Josh Allen stunk up the joint as much as the defense played well. To what BMAC was saying, Danielle Hunter's impact from a statistical perspective has been rather minimal, considering he had 16.5 sacks last year, and considering you also went up against Jonathan Grenard, who had, what, 3 sacks against you in his revenge game with the now 5-0 Vikings against you. So maybe that's something you look at and you wonder about what you invested in this offseason and what you're actually getting out of anything other than Nico Collins, who got paid and has been probably, you know, making that contract look like a bad one.
Oh, it's definitely a bad contract.
Just based off of what he has done to open the year. It sucks that he has this hamstring injury, and hopefully it's not going to keep him out so long. But that might be part of it. It just disappoints me. I feel like this city acts too good for good football far too often.
You think it's, yeah, you think it's...
And it's just a town that maybe isn't a definitive football town, but I feel like people in Texas care more about football than they care about other sports if there's no Astros involved.
I think it's more of a lack of a wanting to buy in, and just the fear that the field goals and things like that, that have led you to a 4-1 record, are not going to last and work the entire season. And they won't. Like it won't. Like, the way the Texans are playing right now, a lot of things that they're doing, like, this is not going to continue to work throughout the entire year. You cannot be this abysmal in the second half of football games and continue to win games. It's just, it's not going to happen. I mean, you know, it's what, 23 points in the second half since week one? It's just not enough. They're just not moving the ball. They're not adjusting the second half well enough to put teams away, because they should have just, you know, it's hard because Buffalo's a good football team, but to say the expectation is to just, you know, beat them, to blow them out in a football game, but you probably should have because of what you did in the first half.
You could have blown them out, and because of some penalties and because of some C.J. Stroud turnovers, you let them back into the game and you almost blew a 20-3 lead. But you still did win, and it's still the Bills, and they are on a tier higher than you just based off of what they've done the last couple of years. Enjoy it. Embrace it. Why do you feel like you can turn your nose up on this? Why? You're not going to win every single game with style points as much as everybody wants it. And I feel like what this team has done for a year and a third under DeMeco Ryans with C.J. Stroud under center, I feel like the lack of buy-in. I am depressed by the lack of buy-in. I want to talk about this team more. And you even sense it here. It's like, whatever. It drives me crazy. This is a good football team. This state supposedly cares about football. What the hell's missing?
I mean, not to make an excuse for the fan base, but I think part of it is this town in particular, not to speak for the state as a whole, but this town in particular, and I say this as someone born and raised here, but it's a transplant city. I mean, just look at this market. I mean, hell, look at this building. I mean, most of the people, at least half the people in this building, half the people that cover sports in this town professionally, they come here from other cities, bringing with other teams as their favorite team. It's just, it's a city. I mean, look at the stands. You hear a lot of Bills fans because there's people selling their tickets, you know, Bills fans that are transplants here, and that happens when the Steelers are here. It happens with the other teams around the market or around the NFL as well. I mean, it's not something that's easily fixed. I don't think people want to admit it, but that's part of the reality, I believe.
Because honestly, even like I think a lot of this stuff, like personally, like I think you still see it even like with the Astros. The Astros have been incredible. We've seen Astros fans' stadiums get invaded. We've seen Minute Maid get invaded by opposing teams all the time. And they're one of the best teams in baseball.
Same with the Rockets. You go to a Rockets game when they're playing the Lakers, there's a ton of Lakers fans there.
Yeah, for sure.
We have a thought from Richard calling in, 713-780-3776. Richard, welcome. Hang on, we'll get Richard on in a second. But anyway, you want to chime in, you can. That's how you call. Here is Richard. Richard, what's up?
Yes, I wanted to tell you, one of the problems I had with yesterday's game was that it was clock mismanagement at the end. I mean, they did win it. Great field goal. The problem was that they ended up throwing a pass in the ground and
the intentional grounding.
Problem. They should have run the ball. Should have run the ball. Let the clock run down to no time and then kick. That's what they should have done, and they didn't do that.
Richard, I get where you're coming from, and that intentional grounding was a tricky spot. I think they thought, hey, we do want to get closer. We have C.J. Stroud as our quarterback, so let's let the quarterback try to figure it out. And the problem was, Stroud had nowhere to go. There was a free rusher off of the right side, and he did the only thing he could, which was throw the ball out of bounds. It would have been nice had he clocked it or dirted it right in front of Dalton Schultz. That wouldn't have been an intentional grounding. That would have been a tough throw to make, just given where the defender was angle-wise.
Yeah, I guess, but from my perspective, I thought it was a bad call, honestly.
What, the grounding?
I thought, from what I saw, I mean, like,
it was so far.
Dalton Schultz turned back inside. You can't throw outside if the receiver turns inside.
Yeah, but he threw his hands up in the air. They both threw their hands up in the air. Like, to me, from where I was sitting, it looked clear that CJ thought Dalton was going to break back out.
Yeah, it's just the rule, though. If you turn back inside, the throw goes out, it's grounding.
Yeah, it's not about where. Yeah, it's about where you are. And I think that, honestly, we pick up the flag too often for grounding. It was clearly grounding. Hey, he didn't want to take the sack. They almost didn't call it. You know, referees sometimes will bail you out by their own incompetence from time to time. A couple other texts. 409. I think the fan mood is mid because the product on the field doesn't really match the record and definitely not the offseason hype. Personally, I think winning ugly games is necessary to win a championship. That's from 409 Josh. It is. Like, the Chiefs. The Chiefs have been
more unimpressive this year. And on top of that, they're dealing with a lot of serious injuries that are going to make a lot of people question them. The only reason people aren't questioning them is because everyone's scared to have them embarrass them again. But, I mean, if there was ever a year to be out on the Chiefs, it's today, October 7th, 2024, before they play the New Orleans Saints in Monday Night Football.
Just because of all the injuries.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, like, the Texans have been healthy too for part of it, but yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm still bought in. I think this team, like, someone texted earlier, trying to call me out, saying that I'm not happy with this. And I'm very happy with this win for the Texans. Was it pretty? No, but a win's a win. That's all that matters. Like you beat the Buffalo Bills. Like, you know, we saw things like, you know, last week Tom Brady put out his top five teams in the NFL. He still had the Texans at number three with the way they were playing. You know, coming off an ugly win in Jacksonville and getting, you know, demolished by Minnesota. Well, now you're at the top of the AFC with the Kansas City Chiefs, and you won this game. So right now, you belong there. You belong there in the conversation with the teams of who are the favorites to come out of the AFC this year, because now you've beaten a team that you also believe is going to beat there. All you are is what your resume are. And what your resume says right now is you're 1-0 against the Buffalo Bills, and you're 4-1, you're second place in the AFC right now. So I'm good with this game. You know, it would have been nice to get more touchdowns, but I'm good with it.
I am too. He's Joe, BMAC behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You want to weigh in on the Texans 23-20 win over the Buffalo Bills to improve to 4-1. Up next, we continue this. First, let me tell you about my friends at MyBookie and MyBookie.ag. You enter the promo code BET975, and guess what? They're going to double your deposit right away. You get to play with that to play live blackjack, live poker with real live dealers while you can just sit at home. You don't even have to wear pants. You can also bet on the presidential election. How are things doing after we saw a certain president have a certain tycoon of social media? Oh, Trump is -115. Kamala Harris is -105. Huh. Interesting. So you can bet on the presidential election. You can also bet on Monday Night Football. Tonight, just one game, finally. Calm down, NFL. Stop forcing it down our throats. You got the Saints and Chiefs. The Chiefs are 5.5-point favorites, the last unbeaten team in the AFC. Saints have had some impressive moments this year. You all about that who dat? Who dat? We'll see if you are. Take them to cover, 5.5 at mybookie.ag. Promo code BET975. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with mybookie.ag.
It's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
23-20, Texans beat the Buffalo Bills. And things look pretty easy for them, at least for the next week, because they're going to be playing against a New England Patriots team this coming Sunday, Joe, that I think has lost now three captains to injury, one to arrest, and is probably about to lose a fifth one of their six captains to the bench, because it looks like they're going to be benching Jacoby Brissett for third overall pick Drake May this week.
Yikes, what a bad decision that is. I don't think Will Anderson.
Is it? I don't know, man.
Daniil Hunter and the Texans defense is who I want my rookie quarterback to make their debut against. And I know Daniil Hunter, like, the stats are not flashy so far this season, but
the game where
look what they just did to Caleb.
Yeah, that game against a guy who had at the very least one game of experience under his belt. Caleb did what he could in that one. To have your rookie quarterback running for life the same way, because the Texans just did not respect Caleb at all by the end of that game. They were just saying, we're going to throw the blitz at him every single play and make him work. And at least he was able to escape the rush. But this is going to start a stretch where the Texans play to wrap up the month of October at the Patriots. Should be an easy win.
Mm-hmm.
Should be the first style points win of the year, just given how inept New England is on offense. At the Packers, who, with Jordan Love back under center, have certainly been frisky. A home game against the Colts, and then a Halloween game at the Jets with Al Michaels on the call.
Oh, can't wait. And they've looked awful. My gosh. Sending our best product to London in typical fashion. But so the Jets game is funny because it's not, it's like when you look at the schedule, like we never would have put Minnesota in that category of a game where you'd feel that team was a threat. I thought, I guess, higher of the Jets than what we've seen this season. I mean, they've been pretty pitiful for the most part. I mean, they finally got Garrett Wilson and Aaron Rodgers going a little bit. But this is your last, I would agree with you, easier stretch. Unless Tua doesn't come back, then maybe at the end of the year when you play the Titans, Jags, and Tyler Huntley or whoever's a quarterback for Miami, if Tua is still concussed. But you got to take advantage of the stretch because you do have some really tough teams, you know, slowly coming up on your schedule. That Cowboys-Detroit back-to-back is an interesting couple weeks. So this weekend, I hope they win by like 30. Not even close. Just dominate them.
And if they don't, guess what will happen? We'll be doing the exact same thing on Monday.
Well, I think it'll be different. Because at least this team's good. At least Buffalo's good. You know, Buffalo's a good football
team. That's what I mean, though. Yeah. They beat a good team, and it was an ugly win. A win that they were leading 20-3 at one point.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't beat the Patriots by multiple scores, people are going to be whining about it.
Yes. But part of that's deserved. I do think because of the way they've played. You know, if you play a different quarterback other than Anthony Richardson, you probably would have lost that game. If you would have played maybe a different quarterback this last Sunday than Josh Allen, honestly, you might have lost because he was inaccurate and missing stuff. If they had any talent at wide receiver, because the Texans haven't won, you know, confidently, because you're seeing all these quarterbacks overthrow easy touchdown passes pretty consistently. I mean, Trevor Lawrence, Josh Allen, Anthony Richardson, they're all doing it. Like, they're all getting big open shots and throwing it past their guys. Like, that's part of it, why there's that uneasiness with watching these games, is because it's very easy for the fans to see that just one thing goes wrong or right, I guess, for the other team, and the Texans season is going in a much different direction. But we talked about this last week. Winning gives you time. Like you won this game, you're 4-1, you're in second place in the AFC, so they still have just, they've added time to figure out these issues of what's going on. You know, we've seen a little bit of a dip down from Kamari Lassiter in the last couple weeks, getting them on the right page and moving forward.
That missed tackle he had on the touchdown by Keon Coleman was pretty bad.
Yeah, that was not.
It happens. And Eric Murray also had a really bad missed tackle in this game, too. You're going to see missed tackles from time to time, but those were, I think, the two lowlights defensively. Otherwise, It was a game where they held the Bills in check. Josh Allen's inaccuracy doomed them ultimately. And when they had to make a big play, the Texans made a big play.
And also, the other thing that's good about this game coming up versus the Patriots, just not to look too far ahead, is that if you are going to be without guys like Nico Collins and Jimmy Ward, it's almost like a mini bye week in a way. Titus Howard, you probably don't need him out there this upcoming week. So you should win. And Junior Bronco fairly points out, you know, that this team lost to Carolina last year. That is a game you should not have lost, 15-13 or whatever it was. That was an embarrassing game. The expectation, though, is that that's not going to happen again. It is the NFL. Anything can happen. But not to just try to get the fans, like, all the way in. Beating the Patriots doesn't really do that. But just to see the offense be more consistent throughout a whole game should be what their goal is this weekend, for sure.
We'll see if they're actually able to put together 60 complete minutes. What would this be? Was this 42 complete minutes? 41, 36, I don't know. In terms of, did they actually play a full game? How close to that are they right now?
I mean, the defense gave you pretty much a whole game. I mean, it's Josh Allen.
Did the missed tackle on the kick? Yeah. But you're right, it is Josh Allen.
Yeah, it's like
about.
It's the NFL. Like, there, people are going to score points. So, like, I'm not, like, to me, there's very little to be critical about the defense in this game. I thought they adjusted really well to James Cook. Like, early on, it seemed like he was going to have his way and do whatever he wanted. And that's something we've seen from the Texans so far this season, where we see running backs have some early success, and then you see the adjustments on that side. Like, the biggest thing to be critical about this game it's Bobby Sloak's offense and CJ Stroud in the second half. And just like, what is changing so dramatically from your opening scripted plays, however far that's going for them, into the second half and why it looks so weak? Because just because Nico Collins got hurt, they're just not scoring in the second half with or without Nico out there.
Yeah. And I mean, that is a concern if he's out a prolonged period of time. Hamstring injuries do tend to re-aggravate themselves. Ask Will Fuller about that in the not too distant past. So there you go. He's Joe. I'm Paul. It's Galan and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You want to chime in on a Texans 23-20 win over the Buffalo Bills or anything else, you can. 713-780-3776 again. You can also join us on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. Stay put.
We're back with Galant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul and Joe.
23-20, a Texans win over one of the top quarterbacks in the game and one of the best teams in the AFC, does not seem to be making it move for the majority of fans in town. I don't get it. Travis wants to weigh in on some bonehead Texans plays at 713-780-3776. Travis, what's up?
Hey, gentlemen. Yeah, man, you know, it was a great moral win. We were 4-1. Great. I'm happy for it. But, man, going into halftime, 14-3, we were at the 20. Bonehead play. Call a timeout. You can't take those timeouts with you to the second half. Call a timeout. Figure out the best play to get that 1 yard to hopefully get it in the end zone to go up 21-3 and get the ball in the second half. Man, that was the stupidest play to try to hurry up and get that 1 yard. They should have spread out that offense, which spreads out the defense, and just got that first down. Bad call. And, man, we got to go out and get better running back because without Mixon, we have no running game. I'll hang out and see what y'all have to say.
Appreciate the phone call, Travis. I do wonder if they are starting to think about trading for a guy. I did not think that both Mixon and Pierce would be out as long as they've been. I feel like if it's ever going to work for Damian Pierce, this is one opportunity. So this, just from a opportunity perspective, blows for him, you know?
Yeah, and it's just weird because like you see someone's questionable on the injury report pretty consistently, you would think at some point it wouldn't be that bad. Because we view questionable as usually not as serious, kind of game time decision-y. But we're getting tweets at 10 o'clock at night on Saturday from Adam Schefter saying that Damian Pierce has already been ruled out for the next day.
Yeah.
Hopefully Joe Mixon's going to be back soon. They do need to get at least one of these guys back very quickly.
Ogunbowale, I think, is a good third down option because he can pass block and actually catch out of the backfield. But to Travis's point, that 4th-and-1 at the Bills 16 with 7:55 to go in the second quarter after you had scored a touchdown drive and then had thrown the 67-yard touchdown pass to Nico Collins. I mean, you were moving the football. And that was a situation that you should have been able to convert. And instead of running a play that put the ball in the hand of your best player, you handed the football up the middle to a guy who at the end of the game averaged 2 yards a carry. And on top of that, I mean, it's just an offensive line that hasn't been able to run the football this year. So it was a strange call and a fairly predictable one, especially considering who you have under center. And I get it. Sometimes you're going to catch the defense off guard, but on that drive, the Texans had run the ball for no gain, 2 yards, -1 yards, 1 yard, -5 on a reverse to Tank Dell.
That play also is one of those plays that I'm kind of over.
Cutesy.
They keep trying it, and it worked. It worked the first couple weeks, right? The first 2-3 weeks, it worked really well, where Tank Dell was getting some yards. But now that they're running every single week, I guess they're just desperate to try to get him the ball because he's not being a super impactful guy. Maybe put him back on punt return at this point. Like, Robert Woods is fine. He obviously made a good return at the end of the game, but he also nearly cost you the game by returning the ball and with the 3 for no reason. He could have just let it bounce into the end zone. They're trying to get Tank the ball, but I didn't love that play. I didn't love the 4th-and-1 call. And what Travis was saying, too, they ran to the line of scrimmage, and they knew that's what they were doing the whole time. Like, that must be something that they're working on in practice. Like, that's their go-to move. Because it didn't seem like there was any consideration to running a different play. Because they got up there so fast. So I find that also very odd.
Slowick leaves a lot to be desired.
Yeah.
And we're going to see what this offense is capable of without Nico Collins. But in the past, that's been the one thing they've always had. Now, are they going to be able to make it happen without him? I don't know. I mean, he's been the best receiver in the NFL to open up the season. It's going to be very difficult for this team to move the football because they can't run the ball. Oh, God, it drives me crazy. Drives me crazy how bad they are at running the football.
Especially because after that first week, like, it just felt like,
yeah,
because it's so good.
It felt like it was possible. And you guys can't point at Joe Mixon and say that that's the only reason this offense can't run the football. They couldn't run it last year either.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Damian Pierce isn't a fit. Maybe make the offense a little bit more conducive to Damian Pierce when he's healthy. You know, maybe, I don't know, run an offense when it comes to running the football that suits your players' talents. Because, sure, Damian Pierce might be impatient and all that stuff, but come on. They stunk last year running the ball. They stink this year running the ball. And the offensive line's fully healthy outside of Titus Howard being out. Blake Fisher wasn't bad yesterday. Why can't you run the football at all? Why is it always 2 yards in a cloud of nothing?
Mm-hmm.
Cloud of rubber pellets?
D'Amico Ryan, meeting with the media right now, said he's not sure if Joe Mixon will be available this week.
Still, oh, what a surprise. Okay, well.
So, to your point, like, at some point, you have to address the running back position if you're not going to see Damian Pierce and Joe Mixon together. I mean, you didn't address it enough this offseason. Damian Pierce is not a fit in this offense. They know that. They've known that forever, since last year. I don't know why they magically thought like it was just going to click for him all of a sudden and he was going to figure out how to run this scheme, because clearly he can't. Or your coaches can't coach him up to that, and they thought they were going to be able to. But you brought in Cam Akers as your only other running back, and then now you're in this position again with an aging running back. Like, you can predict this. You can predict this with Joe Mixon getting hurt. We see old running backs get hurt all the time. Like, it's very obvious. Like, you're going to lose him for a chunk of your season, and you chose to not address this position and just say, oh, we're just going to run out a guy who's torn both of his Achilles or whatever it is, and Damian Pierce, who would run into a wall if it was in front of him.
He might run through it, though. Like the Kool-Aid man.
Try.
Like the Kool-Aid man. Yeah, that's – and see, here we are. We're coming back to the same kind of negativity that everybody else has about this team, because these things are issues for sure. But I do feel like today, appreciate the fact that if the Saints beat the Chiefs tonight, you're going to be tied with the Chiefs for the best record in the AFC. It's just you and the Chiefs. Now, it might feel hollow, empty, or whatever, but you got one of the best quarterbacks in the game, clearly, and you have a 4-1 record. I don't know.
I think
that's so bad.
I think you're picking the Chiefs. I mean, the Saints tonight, Paul.
Yeah, I am.
Okay.
I am. I feel like the Chiefs are due for a loss, just given the way that things have opened up this year. I mean, it has been close every single one of these games. And I like what I've seen from the Saints thus far. I don't know.
I have two. Plus, you have Rashee Rice out.
Mm-hmm.
Isaiah Pacheco out.
Mm-hmm.
Travis Kelce, old, slow, whatever it is.
I mean, it's 4-0.
Yeah.
And they're 4-0.
And they're facing Derek Carr.
Hey, Derek Carr.
And they've lost 2 in a row.
That's true. I have been an idiot with Derek Carr before, and you're right. The first 2 weeks, the new car smell has definitely wafted away. But, I mean, I'm looking at this Kansas City team. Couldn't we say a lot of the same things about the Chiefs that many people who aren't happy with the win yesterday because it wasn't big enough are saying about the Texans? I mean, week one against the Ravens, Isaiah Likely's foot is barely out of the back of the end zone, so they win that game. Against the Bengals, who were talking all that noise in the week, they only win by 1 point. Against the Falcons, they got some help down the stretch. We're hanging in there till the very end. And against a banged-up Chargers team, where you would think they would have gotten the style points, that's where Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce had to do the whole thing on their own to rally the Chiefs from a 10-0 first quarter deficit to ultimately win that game. But, I mean, they're basically, at this right moment right now, saying, F it, it's 2018 again. Kareem Hunt, Travis Kelce bails out.
Oh, I hope Kareem Hunt action tonight would be interesting.
Is Tyreek Hill going to force a trade out and get back to the Chiefs or something like that? I mean, that's what I feel like is the next step. The Chiefs are just going to go full 2018, 2019 or something
like that. He was kind of flirting with the Chiefs last week when he was doing some media.
Of course he was, because he wants
kind of talking about them.
He wants to die in this current Dolphins offense.
I mean, I would. They're pretty bad.
from the 936. Should have taken a flyer on Austin Ekeler. That's someone I wish I drafted in fantasy football. Trade for Dalvin Cook, or is he washed? Now, the thing is, they gave that contract to Joe Mixon. And when they gave that contract to Joe Mixon, they were just going to give themselves a, I think, really, really tough spot to be in if an injury happened. And it's weird that they gave him the contract before he had even played it down, just given his age. I don't get it.
And without addressing the backup position, I don't get that. Because I'm without getting someone to replace Damian Pierce. Like, you needed it. It was very obvious. We all talked about it. We all saw it. And they just didn't see it. They didn't agree. And now you can't run the ball. And I do think that maybe sometimes we need to be more critical of the offensive line, though. Because
I wish I knew how to study it, because I would be more so. But you're right.
But you would think that at some point, like, there would be some level of success, right? Like, they've tried all these different running backs. We see teams all over the NFL, from the 49ers to the Chiefs to, I mean, hell, you're seeing low-level teams run the ball successfully. The Carolina Panthers can run the ball a little bit.
I guess, I mean, there was only one sack. It was the forced fumble of C.J. Stroud, mm-hmm. and there were fewer penalties. So they might be getting better on that front. But to what they were saying on Friday about how the running game is getting better, okay.
It's not.
It's definitely not to this point.
Hey, maybe this week, Paul.
I hate that I'm getting negative. I hate it. I blame the Twitch. At ESPN 975. On YouTube at ESPN Houston, you can join us 713-780-3776 to call, to text. Final thoughts on the Texans. 4-1 right now. Second best team of the AFC. Where's the love? Where's the buzz? Stay put.
Kim Akers cuts to the outside for the touchdown. Dalton Schultz with a key block. And the Texans take the lead.
You're back with Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul and Joe.
They're 4-1. You would think there'd be more excitement. They got those new uniforms on with the cool H on the side.
Oh, I don't like the font. I think it's too to the streets, okay? And I like my kids off the streets. I'm a suburb guy. I like the Woodlands. And I don't like that rap music that they got with that font, Joe, that they had on the side of their helmet. My kids saw it. They were nervous.
Yeah, some people don't like the font. I think it's fine. I liked the original one they released first. There was another H that they let of the, like, the flagshippers.
It was a little too light blue.
Because
the Titans ceased and desisted because they have nothing of value in their franchise other than uniforms that they stopped wearing because no one in the city they lived in wanted them to wear it. And then all of a sudden, enough time passes and everyone's like, oh, these look cool.
Someone told me they can't sell Oilers gear inside the city of Houston anymore. That they're the Titans are trying to stop that at certain retail stores.
Oh, that would be an interesting thing to
within,
look
at. Within, like, a specific, like, Houston zip code.
Academy Sports and Outdoors. That would be interesting to see. They're so petty.
That's so stupid.
It's technically your merchandise.
Yeah, you're making money off of it, so I think that can't be true.
But wait a second. Yeah, that's anti-capitalist. These communist bastards. Like, they're trying to stop us from buying an Earl Campbell jersey?
Yeah. Yeah, they said that there are certain stores that can't sell Oilers.
So that some little Tennessee-born cannibal living in a trailer park can buy one of these jerseys for players he's never heard of before?
Mm-hmm.
God.
Did it blow your mind there?
It doesn't blow my mind. Like, that, what that woman will do to stick it to a city that hated her terrible father is, I guess I respect it. I mean, it's a pettiness that I feel like I would, in some ways, probably do myself, if we're being honest here.
I hope not. I don't think you'd be, you know, decades-long pettiness, Paul.
Oh, I can hold it.
You can? Do you still have petty revenge from, like, high school that you think about?
Oh, yeah, Brett Rhine. He sent me a Facebook friend request a couple of years ago. Yeah, I denied. I think he was going to send me an apology. And I was like, no, when I first moved down there, my life was miserable.
Do you do the reunions?
No, I did the reunion for a high school. No. Yeah. No, our high school had zero school spirit.
We were supposed to, but it's during the pandemic. It was 2020, so that would have been 10 years. So I don't know what's going to happen next. But I have, like, zero interest at this point going back. And, like, for that reason. and seeing a bunch of people from high school.
I actually would love to see a lot of people from high school.
I feel like Facebook kind of ruins it because I just see all the updates I can on Facebook.
Oh, you still go on.
I check, you know.
I mean, I rarely check.
How many views my stuff gets on the book?
I rarely check, and that's there's a world where I might be completely unaware of the fact that somebody challenged me to mutual combat over a thumbnail that I used.
Is that still blowing up?
No, I think they've all moved on because Astro good. Season's over and they've got nothing in their small little lives.
Yeah.
They got nothing other than that Facebook group that they're in.
It's
a terrible group, by the
like
way.
Once a month, just like jump in, just go, sup.
No, if I ever drop in, I'm just going to leave a swear because they were so offended by the fact that I dropped an F-bomb in it. But I felt like the F-bomb was necessary to just show how stupid this thing was. But if we can make the fight for charity happen, I mean, there's a way.
Oh yeah, B-Mac, we were talking about this on Friday. I don't know.
You used to be a moderator, right? For battles.
You're a ref, right?
Yeah, no, I was an amateur boxing referee for USA Boxing.
Would you feel comfortable reffing a fight between Paul and the person who challenged him to mutual combat?
Sure.
Okay. Can you be really favorable to me?
Yeah, I will definitely take payments under the table. Okay. It's not a sanctioned fight. I can do whatever I want.
What would it cost for like just a kick to the groin? You know, how many?
That's a little heavy.
$20 per kick to the groin?
$20 per kick. Okay. I think that's fair.
Okay, cool. Maybe I'll give it to you just so I know I have the option, but
I've watched pro wrestling really long enough to know ways to disguise it, so we're good. I can actually protect my name still and make it seem like I never saw it.
Oh. What's up, the Twitchers versus the Blankers fight? We'll do a whole charity. Whichever one. We can pick them out of a hat. Whichever one Joel wants. Like, you know, we'll have a little charity boxing night here at the station. There's plenty of room out there in the lobby. We could stream it on Twitch and YouTube.
I don't know, though. The company that's across from us, the new one that just moved in.
Oh, they might not approve.
They just shut their blinds.
Are they ashamed of us?
I think so.
I was trying to figure out like what it was.
This is the first time. Well, we used to be able to look in. They've officially shut their blinds.
Yeah.
To the common area.
We should throw it up. The next listener party. Maybe it should be during the day. Now that we have neighbors.
All those guys who were hitting on Abigail and Sam, all of a sudden they're hitting on these random people in the building that's here.
My theory is that it looks like a Ponzi scheme because it got moved in so fast. Like, have you ever? Like when I was out of work in 2018 and I was looking for a job, I was looking for like marketing jobs.
Yeah, I technically was a part of a marketing company.
Yeah, but you get there and it's like you're just going to be selling like Xfinity outside an HEB.
Ooh.
And I was like, I'm not doing this. But like red flag, if you ever apply for a job within minutes, they hit you back and offer you an interview. Mm-hmm. That's the vibe I get from the people across the office now, is that it's one of those places.
Based upon how fast they moved in?
That is a take.
It took very little for you to jump to that conclusion.
Hey, you know what?
Joe.
Until they open their blinds and put some logos.
What are they
up
hiding
in there?
I
don't know.
Yeah. Why would they close their blinds if they had nothing to hide?
Pyramid scheme.
A bunch of people are saying the H on the side of the helmet looks like Madden Creative franchise. I don't get that vibe. I think it's a good H.
I don't love it. It's my least favorite part of the uniform. I think everything else is really cool. I don't love the H. I like it. I don't love it.
I don't know if I would
have. Joe George, I don't love the H. That's the clip there.
Whoa. Nice.
That's the clip. That's what I heard.
That's going to bite me in the ass.
Disavowed.
Yep. That's a good decision by you to disavow.
It's the Paul Gallant Show with Joe George.
I support your disavow.
All right. Time for a little garbage time before we get out of here.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
I'm still waiting for an update this week with the Cleveland Browns and Deshaun Watson. On Sunday, if you didn't see it, in the fourth quarter, the Browns had a fourth and goal situation. They had, I think, 12 players on the field. And Deshaun Watson, realizing they were about to take a delay of game, just walked off of the field. He gave Kevin Stefanski, who looked bewildered, a little love tap to the side on his way off the field.
The burner Twitter account that many believe he has was very active after yesterday's game. I feel like that is just a joke. I feel like it's some really creative person who is making it seem like Deshaun Watson has a burner account. Remember, there are so many things that are fake these days. Mm-hmm. You never know what's what. But I'm surprised that we have not seen any update about what whether or not Deshaun Watson is going to stick with the... oh, here we go! Finally found it. Kevin Stefanski says that they are going to stick with Deshaun Watson. They believe in him. Oh, man.
Yikes.
That is garbage.
Yeah, where are we at on the Deshaun Watson better person or better football player graph? Are we better person? Which way are we leaning these days?
I'm right in the middle. I refuse to say one or the other. I think he equally sucks at both. Stefanski said this. I think I've been pretty clear, guys, all along. This is not a one-person type of deal. When we're playing how we're playing on offense, we need everybody to do their job and do their job better. I look at myself, and how can I do that? I believe in Deshaun, and I believe in what he brings to this offense. What does he bring to this offense?
Bad plays?
Being a freak?
I mean, like, is Kevin Stefanski at this point just putting him out there to make it very publicly clear that he's not the problem?
Clearly, they aren't letting him bench him for Jameis Winston. But once again, they have an expensive backup quarterback that they could use here, and they're just not using him. And last year's backup, Joe Flacco, was good. They won games with him.
Mm-hmm.
It's insane that they are sticking with it. I get the Browns thinking to themselves, hey, we spent all this money. But at a certain point, why are you playing him just for the sake of playing him? This is equivalent to a story I've told before when, after realizing I was getting an allergic reaction to whey protein that I'd purchased for $40, I continued to use it because I had paid $40 for it and figured once I'm done with the $40 worth of whey protein, I'll just go get another brand of whey protein and not have that issue. Next thing I know, boom, emergency room. This is what they're doing. I survived, I guess.
They won't.
I don't get it.
They're going to be, Junior Bronco points out, they're probably just waiting for him to get in trouble again. It wouldn't shock me. But you don't have to play him to do that. There must be some, either they're being told to keep playing him by ownership, or there is some kind of strategy of why they have to keep playing him. Because for sure, as soon as you take him out, you can never put him back in. He's gone. He's leaving the facility. And he ain't coming back. Because that locker room's going to want Jameis Winston. They're not going to want Deshaun Watson. They don't want Deshaun Watson now. It's so obvious.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing of all. The players have to all know. And they all like Jameis. So even if they don't believe Jameis is more talented than Watson, which at this point it would be hard to at least not wonder if Winston's better than Watson, what are they sticking to? What are they waiting for? I don't know. I'm enjoying it all fall apart in Cleveland, but there is a part of me that wants them to just do what is necessary, which is bench him. If the Broncos can move on from Russell Wilson as quickly as they did, why can't the Browns move on from Deshaun Watson? Is it all because of that money? Do they really have to find a loophole to get out of paying him all that money before they can justify this? He is never going to be better. He's clearly just not the same guy that he used to be as a player anymore. His shoulder doesn't work. He can't throw the ball downfield. They're throwing for less than 130 yards a game. That is insane.
They're just
Josh Allen had more than that, and he missed 21 of his passes yesterday.
That's so sad. So anyway, always remember, Texans fans, it could be worse.
Could be. Yeah, they're 4-1 in second place in the AFC. It's insane. I don't get it. I'm annoyed by this. I'm annoyed. Hopefully I'll be less annoyed tomorrow. For BMAC and for Sean Mapes, for Joe George, our texters, our callers, our YouTubers at ESPN Houston, our Twitchers at ESPN 975, I am merely Paul Gallant. So long, farewell, have yourselves a wonderful rest of your Monday. The Killer Bees are up next. Peace!
ESPN 97.5.